Okay, Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, during a fortnight in which a game that began with anger in the stands ends in defeat against the men from Tehran. Cause for concern on Valley's return as Kitchy run riot with forwards to burn. And Lee Man goal spree as Michael Ndri clips Pegasus wings by bagging three. A lot to talk about today. Reaction to last night's match for the Hong Kong side against Iran. All the news from a weekend of Premier League matches. Some transfer gossip and much more. So stay with us. My name, as always, is James Legg. And I'm joined, as ever, by Tobias Tusser. Hello, Toby.
Hello, James.
It's a glorious morning here in Yau Ma Tei.
Absolutely. And I'm strangely satisfied after experiencing a defeat.
I feel the same. Why is that?
Well, because it was, just to put it simple, a good performance of Hong Kong.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, they did lose 2-0 against Iran. A little bit of context, Iran are currently ranked, what, 23rd in the world?
Something like that, yeah.
The top-ranked team in Asia, the best team in the qualifying group. We basically knew that to get anything from this game for Hong Kong was going to be a minor miracle. It ended 2-0 at the Hong Kong Stadium. No major surprise. We'll talk about the game in a moment, but I guess the main story was what happened off the pitch. We tend to try to avoid that kind of thing and to stick with what's on the pitch. But I think in this instance, it is important to mention just what kind of atmosphere we had at the Hong Kong Stadium last night. A very big and vociferous crowd, just under 14,000 people making the trip to So Kon Po on a warm and sweaty Tuesday evening. Of course, we had lots of anti-government chants, as usual, lots of booing of the national anthem, some flags, some signs. And once again, just as we had this wave of support building after the Occupy protests in 2014, we see the Hong Kong representative team becoming a conduit for localist feeling in the city.
No, I absolutely agree. And I have to admit that over the last 6-7 years that I've been watching the Hong Kong national team, it was probably the best atmosphere at the home match that I can remember in terms of the intensity, in terms of the slightly aggressive tone to it as well. Like, people really seemed fired up and energized by it. So it definitely, and I think this is the main point, politics aside, it really gave Hong Kong a well-deserved home advantage. And I think that also reflected in how Hong Kong eventually performed.
Yeah, probably the only contender for most vociferous game recently would have been the 2015 game against China. That was at the Mong Kok Stadium, though. So you had probably only fewer than 6,000 people in the stadium, as opposed to this, you know, you're pushing 14,000. That's more than double. And I suppose that legitimizes the decision to hold the games at the Hong Kong Stadium.
Yes, absolutely. Once you reach a crowd of more than 12,000, there is only Hong Kong Stadium. Of course, no one wants to play in Siu Tsai Wan Sports Ground, but having more than double than what you could get at Hong Kong Stadium is, I think, enough to legitimize to move it to Hong Kong Stadium. And we have been complaining a lot in the past, right? If it makes sense to move it to Hong Kong Stadium, but I think since yesterday, home games there are pretty fine.
Oh, yeah. There's absolutely no argument. If you're getting that kind of attendance, then of course you go for Hong Kong Stadium. I got the feeling that, as has happened to a lesser degree in the past, a lot of people are there not necessarily for the football. You know, I mean, they're there for to get behind Hong Kong as a concept, you know, rather than these 11 players. And, you know, you heard the chants, you know, the kind of chants that you always hear on the marches, you know, particularly the Liberate Hong Kong, Revolution of Our Times. They were much louder. They kind of carried around the entire stadium, as opposed to, say, when we were chanting Lord Ji Chun's name or, you know, the kind of the more football-y chants. They were kind of kept to the quote-unquote ultras area. But, you know, whatever people's motivations for coming down, having such big numbers, this has to be a boost for the team, right?
I would say so, and I think you could sense it yesterday that it really energized the team and the players on the pitch fighting for every ball. And as I've mentioned before, I really think it adds to the home advantage, and particularly then against teams that might be a bit weaker than Iran, should give us more hope for these games as well.
On the serious side, though, is there a danger here? Of course, for many years now, the Hong Kong national team has been known as a little bit of a vector for a certain kind of politics in Hong Kong. that is the anti-government politics, the localism, I suppose. Is it just me who senses that that could be dangerous for the team if that reputation sticks? And when you consider what's happened in Hong Kong to companies recently like MTR, like Cathay Pacific, who've been accused of being a little bit too nice to anti-Beijing sentiment?
I think at this point it is hard to say. It could have negative consequences eventually. That all said, Hong Kong football has been dealt with the booing of the national anthem for the last 4 years. They have somehow overcome this or came out of it with not too much damage. But of course, this is now a little bit more exaggerated and more politicized. For once, we have to see how FIFA is reacting to the whole situation. It is very likely that it will mean another fine for Hong Kong. Hopefully nothing more serious. But without wanting to speculate too much on this, I think we would just have to wait and see also about the reaction. The good thing is that whenever Hong Kong is playing, China is also playing. And this remains the bigger news in China, particularly if they win 5-0 in the first match and they have new naturalized players. So hopefully what's happening with a very small minnow representative team does not matter too much to them eventually. Let's see.
Fingers crossed. And one thing that I noticed recently was that in all of this kind of political carnage that's been going on, the anthem law never actually made it into law yet. It seems as though it will definitely become illegal to boo the anthem, but we kind of expected that it would have gone through by now, but it hasn't. Anyway, so let's talk some football. 2-0 it ended. Goals from Sardar Azmoun and Karim Ansarifard. At the beginning, I was a little bit shocked to see Hong Kong coach Miksu Partalainen had named 7 defenders in his starting lineup. This sort of fell into a 5-4-1 or a 4-3-2-1, depending on how you look at it. I thought James Ha did very well on his own up front, having to do a lot of running and managing to hold up the ball and get others involved in the Iran half. He was supported by the flying fullbacks, Lord Zitun on the left and Choi Wan Kit on the right. Those two were, I think, more advanced than we thought they would be, right? They didn't just play as right back and left back. The back five had its own right back and left back, and then you had these two other guys who were basically right up and down the wings, right? And they were attempting to support James Hart, and they managed to a couple of times. Is there anyone else who you thought did well?
I think the three players you mentioned in particular have the ones that have stood out. And I want to emphasize again, it's amazing that two of the three apparently best players on the night were the youngest in the squad as well. Choi Wan Kit and Lord Zitun, both around, I think, approaching 23. That's quite encouraging. And particularly showing such a good performance on such a high level. So yeah, I fully agree. These three players also stood out for me.
And it was Law who came closest with, I think he was laid off by James Ha, and he kind of shot, well, he could have shot from about 7 yards and he miscued. That was probably the best chance of the game. Unfortunately, it fell to the left back rather than, you know, someone else. But I, on the whole, I thought he had a great game. Of course, Hong Kong sat back. They let Iran come at them. And it didn't really seem like the away team broke much of a sweat. But on the whole, how did you feel about it?
Well, in general, I felt positive. And I think one of the main reasons was that you could see that Hong Kong had a clear match plan, that players really knew exactly what their job is, what they have to do. This is something that we have been missing sometimes in the past, where we really felt like, oh, it's a bit of a chaos and everyone is just like everywhere on the pitch. So this is, I think, a very positive change and also something you could really observe.
I 100% agree. That's my biggest takeaway, is the idea that Miksu Partalainen has come up with a specific game plan for this game, and he's clearly communicated it to the players. The players have clearly listened and they've stuck to it throughout the game. And like you say, that's especially under Kim Pang-on, I felt as though there were games, some important games as well, where you just thought, I honestly don't know what you're attempting to do here. And it looks like some of the players don't either. And so it's very good to have, you know, going forward, he's only a few games into his tenure. It could be a really good sign. I did feel like the goal, the first goal, stemmed from a bad punch from goalie Yapung Fai when he could have caught the ball. The punch went to Ehsan Haji Safi, who scuffed his shot and it kind of flicked into the air, and Azmoun kind of volleyed it into the bottom corner. I thought that if Hong Kong were to get anything from the match, they would first have to nail the basics and make no mistakes. Then you hope that Iran don't get into a groove and maybe they make some bad decisions, and then you've got a chance. But if experienced defensive players don't nail the basics, then it's not going to happen. I mean, I don't want to lay the blame at Yap's door. Iran were just better and Hong Kong didn't do enough when they had the ball. But I did feel as though that first goal was avoidable. Is that harsh?
No, I think it's a fair assessment. But again, I think against a team like Iran, Hong Kong approached it in the right way. From the beginning, it was clear that Iran are the clear favorites. If you looked at the odds on betting websites, I think it was like 40-1 against Hong Kong. Mm. So yeah, no one really expected that Hong Kong even would take away 1 point. But I think with a bit of luck, Hong Kong, the way they played, could have stood a chance to get away with a 0-0. Very similar to the games against China. And I think just that feeling that it was possible and that it maybe even just came down to certain mistakes or certain moments of being less concentrated is still, I think, from a Hong Kong perspective, quite encouraging. Like, I don't want to be the pessimist to say, oh, we really messed it up. I think we can, as I've mentioned at the beginning, be quite satisfied nonetheless, even though I agree that it could have been dealt better with in these certain situations.
And it was a big day for Yap?
It was, yes. He took over Lee Chi Ho as the most capped player of the Hong Kong national team. I think that means 71 appearances. So congratulations to him, making history.
And still only 29.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
He could double that tally quite easily.
Yeah. In my mind, I mean, his presence, his everlasting presence for the Hong Kong team over the last 10 years, it feels like he is 40.
Yeah, but it's amazing. I mean, you look at, he played in 2009 in the East Asian Games when Hong Kong won that on home soil. I mean, that was 10 years ago. He's 29 and he's already got a decade of international experience. I mean, of course, he's not the captain anymore. But yeah, well done to him. And here's to the next 71 appearances. Okay, so on a slightly more sobering note, that's 1 point from the opening two games because, of course, Hong Kong drew 1-1 away in Cambodia. Very quickly, sum up this game for me, Toby.
Well, I think the reason why a lot of people now were quite satisfied with the Iran game is that it was a very disappointing performance against Cambodia in this first opening match. Actually, Hong Kong took the lead with Tan Chun Lok 1-0 in the first half, but very, very soon Cambodia equalized. Cambodia actually played quite interesting with a lot of young players, under 23 players. They looked very, very fast, caused a lot of troubles for the defense. But Hong Kong also seemed that they never really could control the game at any point, which was disappointing because in the past, Hong Kong has never dropped a point against Cambodia. So it was the first time that they drew. They were actually close sometimes to a defeat as well, Hong Kong. Cambodia had a fair amount of chances, even hit the post in the second half as well. So the 1 point eventually was something that Hong Kong could be satisfied with in total in terms of the performance. But yeah, people expected 3 points. And that set the expectations for the Iran game quite low. But I think that they came out of this okay eventually. And also Miksu Pathilainen has now less to worry about because people feel more confident what they have seen in the game against Iran.
Okay, so what's coming up next in the group stage?
Next up in October, there will be an away game in Iraq, which will be, of course, tough. But I think Bahrain just drew with Iraq 1-1 in the first game. So Hong Kong will need to do the same, looking if they can grab a point in a very difficult game. There might also be, still yet to be confirmed, a friendly game against Malaysia in October. Before then, in November, there will be two very important home games, the one against Cambodia and the one against Bahrain. So these are certainly two games to really look forward to, given the atmosphere in the stadium and given also that these are the two games where Hong Kong has the biggest chance of getting away with points.
Yeah, those are definitely the two games. We really were banking on 3 points from Cambodia as well, so they're already a little bit behind in that sense. So Cambodia at home is an absolute must win, and then it would be great if they could get something against Bahrain as well. After this break, we're going to talk Hong Kong Premier League.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every 2 weeks, dropping on each second Wednesday. Make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Podcast Addict, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Okay, over in domestic football, Kitchi are top of the Premier League after a 5-0 opening day win over Happy Valley. We talked last time about how Kitchi were going to juggle their five registered foreigners. Well, all five of them got a goal each in this one. Manuel Bleda, Lucas Silva, Clayton, Fernando from the spot, and Souza with an impressive diving header in that order. Clayton's goal was a very nice move involving him, Bleda, and Lucas, who got three assists in the match, as well as his goal, if you include winning the penalty for Fernando. Toby, you were at this match. Did Happy Valley have much in reply?
Not very much, to be honest. You could really see the difference in quality. Very much confirmed our expectation and Happy Valley will be fighting against relegation this season. Also very much confirmed our expectations that Kitchi have most likely the best attack this season at their disposal. I mean, all the five foreigners, as you said, basically have offensive quality and are able to score. And I think that this will probably be the main strength for Kitchi compared to the relatively thin defense line that they currently have. That was not a problem against Happy Valley.
Not a bad start for their new coach, Blaž Šliškovič. So how did Blaža and Lukas line up? Because in my head, that's two number nines. But how did they, was one in front of the other, next to each other?
They were kind of next to each other, even though Blaža was falling back frequently. And Lukas Silva was more in his usual role where he's trying to break through the defensive line or trying to go on a fast attack or counter attack. But yeah, they really looked like combining well with each other. And yeah, it's some also a new kind of formation for Kitchi, like starting with like two forwards as well. And so far has been looking good.
I was interested to see there were some starts for younger players like Cheng Chin Lung started. Clement Bernardouche got a nice assist for the opening goal for Blaža. One player who didn't start was Christian Vadoč, who has left Kitchi, but he was in the stands, I guess, for his last game to watch in Hong Kong. There was a tribute to him on the 32nd minute, which is, of course, the shirt number that he wears for Kitchi, or wore for Kitchi, and, you know, the fans clapped and waved their Vadoč shirts. And a fitting tribute to someone who's been absolutely excellent for, well, particularly excellent in his first season for Kitchi. Last season, slightly less effective, but a really good player.
Yeah, absolutely, and well-deserved.
Any news on where he's headed?
I haven't heard yet, but once we know, we'll keep you updated.
The Happy Valley striker, Gavilan, he seemed to be carrying their attacking hopes. Did we see much from him?
In general, the attack was very, very sporadic for Happy Valley. There was not much of chances that they could create. Not to sound too mean, but really the highlight for Happy Valley that day was the away kits. Very nice pink. We're looking good.
If nothing else, you did it in style.
Exactly. Losing in style.
Okay, RNF are second. That's because they beat reigning champions Taipo, or what's left of them, 4-1. It was 1-1 at the break, thanks to a Thiago goal for RNF and a Sandro equaliser from the spot. But Giovanni, Lam Ji Gin and Leung Ngoc Hang scored for the Guangzhou side in the second half to make sure of the 3 points. That was their first ever league win over the men in green. Taipo, of course, beat RNF home and away last season, pushing them into second place. A bit of revenge there for RNF. Igor Sartori, though, could not get a goal against his former employers. I have personally tipped RNF for the title this year, and this is not a bad start.
Yeah, certainly not a bad start. Of course, we have to say that Taipo is not the champions Taipo that we know of last season. So we already knew that they are going to have a hard time. It really looks like they will struggle this season. So it's still hard to say how well RNF played or how bad Taipo are at this very moment. We will figure out, I think, in the next few weeks. But yeah, good start for RNF and certainly underlining that they are in for the title this season.
Working our way down the table in third place is Lee Mann. Free scoring Lee Mann, who beat Pegasus 4-2 in their first match at Champtree Post Sports Ground. The Bees only scored 12 goals in all of last season, so in one match they've hit a third of that total. A hat-trick from Michael Ndree did the damage after Nando Recio made it 1-1 from quite a complicated Lee Mann corner kick routine. Ndree only got one goal in nine last season, so an uptick in the scoring rate for him too. On target for the Flying Horsemen were new Aussie striker Charles Lokolingoi and Marcos Gondra, who arrived from Dreams over the summer. Gondra's goal was an absolute stunner. It was a speculative long ball from Cheung Chi Young. Gondra gets on the end of it just outside the box, heading it into the air, high up, looping into the air. He follows the flick on himself just inside the box to the left and volleys it into the near post. Unstoppable. Brilliant goal. I may even close nominations on goal of the season after just one match.
That's it.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Week one, that's done.
So at least Pegasus' new signings are off and running. 2 goals for them. And they have looked to shore up their defense.
Exactly. Which I think they felt was necessary after conceding 4 goals. And yeah, they signed Chen Wai Ho, a very famous Hong Kong football veteran who most recently played for Dreams, as we know, until they went bankrupt. And of course, in the past, has played for a long time for South China and was also Hong Kong captain for a while as well in the national team. So yeah, a veteran joining them as well, known to be very talkative, very outspoken, and maybe manages to bring more organization into the Pegasus defense.
Yeah, I hope so. Pegasus, yeah, they've been in a bit of a dip for the past 12 months or so now, so they need to sort it out. A great result for Lee Man. And of course, Pegasus are not the only side bringing in a centre-back. Lau Hock Ming, who did not play in this game, has joined Lee Man. Interesting because Lau left Southern at the end of last season. He joined up with Eastern. And we were talking about how this was a really interesting signing. He's one of the best young centre-backs in Hong Kong. Why has he left Eastern?
I think because Eastern have too many good defenders at the moment. It's really impressive if you compare it to last season. Now, at first, I was a little bit surprised about the move. Nonetheless, I think it makes sense. Better than keeping Lau on the bench too much. Instead, having him out there play actually makes sense also for his own development, given that he is still a very young player.
So by Hong Kong standards.
By Hong Kong standards, yes. And let's not forget, I mean, Eastern have players like Eduardo Brace, who also didn't play.
Yeah.
Fung Hing Hwa. So they have a solid defense, and maybe Lau will not be missed eventually as long as there are no major injuries. But yeah, it's an interesting move.
Well, speaking of Eastern, they beat Yuen Long 2-1, but only just. After us making a big fuss about how they had gone and signed up all Taipo's players, Lee Chi Kin coming in as coach, the Blues were trailing against Yuen Long with 10 minutes left, thanks to a Zhang Ji-hin goal. But Clayton Afonso, another defender who's keeping Lau out of the team, equalized with a towering header in the 83rd minute. And with a few minutes left, Diego Elie dangled a lovely diagonal over the penalty spot. Jean Moser rose unchallenged and nodded the ball in at the far post against his former team. 2-1 win for Eastern, who only actually played 2 of their 9 Taipo signings in Fung Hing Hwa and Leung Kun Chung. And I also noticed that Yuen Long dropped their usual goalie Chan Kar Ho for Yip Kar Yew. Is that in any way interesting? Or they're both 23-year-old goalies.
Yeah, just mix it up a bit.
Yeah. He's also 1.90 meters tall.
That's very tall for Hong Kong standards.
Yeah. Very tall for anyone's standards. 3-1. Southern beat Rangers. Battle of the two best-dressed teams in the league, arguably. James Ha, who we were talking about earlier in his Hong Kong colours. Well, he was playing in the same colour. James Ha got 2. Both sort of poked in from close range. Chan Kwong Ho off the bench scored to make it 3. And caused a little bit of controversy with his celebration. By apparently, well, he covered one eye, right? Which is a protest symbol relating to a protester who was shot in the eye, allegedly, we don't quite know yet, by police.
Well, he found an elegant way out of this.
Yeah, he managed to explain his way out of it, right? Which was, oh yeah, you don't know anything about the English Premier League, right? Roberto Firmino, who plays for Liverpool, did something similar. And Chan said that he was just copying someone who he clearly admires. And who are we to doubt him? And Aoyang Yuchung scored for Rangers on his Rangers debut, tapping in after a rare spill from Southern goalie Seatak Him. Good to see him getting a goal. He's, you know, had an injury-ravaged return to Hong Kong football over the past 2 seasons overall. Good for him. 4 goals in this match, all by Hong Kongers.
Yeah, that's good to see. It's not...
Not often you would get that
often,
many goals.
Yeah, not every day in the Hong Kong Premier League. So to sum up the first week, I think we can say that the favorites for the league title have all delivered. Wins for Eastern, Kitchi, R&F. Also the teams that we said will struggle, started to struggle, like Taipo, Rangers, Happy Valley. The big surprise, I think we can say, was Lee Man, who maybe underperformed last season. There was more expectation given the squad that they have put together. So that's an interesting start. I think this is a team to watch out for that maybe could cause one or the other upset this season. Yeah, but so far, interesting start, lots of goals. And we were not too wrong, at least with our pre-season analysis, which is also good for us.
Good so far, yeah. Well, two of those teams that you mentioned will meet this coming weekend. RNF will play Eastern at the Yanzigang Stadium. It's now been confirmed that RNF are going to play at the Yanzigang Stadium. There probably won't be many travelling fans because going across the border is not the most fun experience at the moment with, you know, phone checks and things like that. But in this match, two of those teams that we've talked about maybe challenging for the title are going to meet. RNF certainly had the more convincing result over the previous weekend in the Premier League. I would back them to do the same and win this coming weekend.
If you remember correctly, the Eastern RNF games last season were a bit strange, particularly with the Lam Kawai, Lo Kwan Yee
incident.
In the first game, Lo Kwan Yee got a red card, right? After elbowing Lam Kawai, his buddy from former Kitchi years. And then the other game, Lo Kwan Yee eventually slipped up and let Lam Kawai score. So I think RNF might still be keen on getting a revenge against Eastern. Particularly if you look back to last season, it was, I think, the opening game for RNF that they then very painfully lost against Eastern. Right, where they actually felt that they were the better team. And eventually these were the points that probably kept them from winning the title last season. So yeah, I think that they'll be very motivated. I have to be on your side here. Like, I think the favorites in this game are RNF, given that they are the stable side. They have bolstered the squad quite a bit and have been also more convincing in the first game. So yeah, I think that they, given the home advantage in Guangzhou, should win this game. What do you think?
Well, the Yanzigang Stadium, of course, was the site of Tai Po's triumph in the Premier League last season. So half of those players are now playing for Eastern. Of course, Sartori is now playing for RNF. So they can all have a nice little reunion and remember happier times when they were all wearing green and winning the league against the odds. But yeah, I completely agree. I do think that RNF look more settled at the moment, and I will back them to win this. Kitchi are playing Yuen Long at the Mongkok Stadium, 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. If they continue the way they did against Tapu Valley, then it should be quite simple for them, right?
Yeah, it really should be. I think we can expect 3 points for Kitchi. No offense for Yuen Long.
You don't want to annoy people from Yuen Long.
No.
Oh, clash of the, what's the opposite of a titan?
A minnow.
Clash of the minnows at Chuen Mun when Rangers play Happy Valley. An early one for the two promoted teams. And quite frankly, it's probably a must win for both teams because this is one of the only opportunities they're going to get to put 3 points on the board. This is at 2:30 on Sunday. This could be interesting, actually.
It actually could be interesting. I was just like wondering. It's such a weird fixture. Like, if you would have told me last season that one day we can watch Rangers against Happy Valley playing in Chuen Mun, I would have thought you are crazy. But yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I know I ham on about this a little bit too much, but it's one of those, the first of this season where we've got those classic Hong Kong names playing against each other again in the top flight, which is something we've been missing for a few years. Rangers Happy Valley, that used to be one of the biggest games of the season back in the 70s. And yeah, I imagine it won't draw a 28,000 crowd like it used to. Maybe we'll get 28.
Well, your first chance to experience a new stadium in the Hong Kong Premier League, the premier in Chuen Mun.
Sunny Chuen Mun.
A new district is conquered by the Hong Kong Premier League, which should be exciting. We are still having to check out the food options around.
But Toby, I think the question on everyone's lips is, what is the best transport arrangement to get to the stadium in Chuen Mun?
That's a question for the Hong Kong Transport Podcast. But I think we mentioned it briefly last time. Westfield Line all the way to Siu Hong, the station before Chuen Mun, and then taking a light rail.
Which light rail? I'm Googling it right now.
You're Googling it right now, so please.
So what are you saying? You get off of Siu Hong.
Siu Hong station, yes.
That's a lovely station.
It's a lovely station.
Very nice interchange.
Very close to Lingnan University. There's a bakery inside the station.
There's a bakery? Of course there's a bakery.
There's always a bakery, inside the station.
It looks like you've got two choices here. It's either Anhui on the light rail or it's Affluence. Now, I'm getting off at Affluence.
Yeah, you have to get off at Affluence. No questions. You have to get off at Affluence.
That is an auspicious place to get off.
Yeah.
And it's right by the Chuen Mun River. So you've got a nice little waterside walk.
Have you been to the Chuen Mun River?
No.
Well, it's...
it's more like a nullah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a concrete...
It's a sad version of the... Yuen Long Nulla, I have to say.
Oh, I like that. This is gone. This is, we've definitely gone off a tangent here. The Hong Kong Nullas podcast will be back. Okay, then call it. Who's going to win?
I call it for Happy Valley.
Really?
Yeah, because I own a shirt of Happy Valley. That's the main reason. I think it will be an interesting game. As we have mentioned before, the two relegation candidates having the first face-off maybe gives us a first sense of who is more likely to get relegated.
Yeah, and well, teams who won last weekend and scored a few goals, Lee Mann, who, as we discussed, put four past Pegasus, and Southern, who put three past Rangers, are going to go head-to-head in Saint-Tropez on Sunday at 2:30. This could be an interesting one.
So many interesting fixtures.
Yeah, this is a much more interesting set of fixtures than last weekend.
A lot to choose from, to be honest, yes.
I think this could be, well, looking at what happened, a high-scoring game, but equally, Southern generally have the best defence in the league. They keep the most clean sheets. They concede the fewest goals overall. They have lost Lau Hock-Ming, so we don't quite know how that's settled in yet. Lee Mann will presumably have Lau Hock-Ming, former Southern player, to call upon. But I think overall, Southern have got the quality.
Yeah, nothing to argue with you here. I agree. And Southern are more of the top four, top five candidates this season. But it will show how much Lee Mann are up for this season as well. If they could really cause an upset against Southern.
This is where they prove themselves.
Yeah.
Can Michael Ndri continue his goal-scoring form? Can James Haar? We shall see. The final game is Pegasus against Taipo. Two very middling teams. How the mighty have fallen. 2 years ago, both of those teams were battling it out for second place. Last season, one of them was winning the league. And now they're both probably just hoping to finish in the top half.
Yeah. I was just wondering how we could frame the fixture. I only came up with the battle of outdated Sapling Cup winners.
The former Lychee Kin derby.
The dumped by Lychee Kin battle.
It's the flying horses against the green junk, and you know it. And who is going to win this dubious derby?
I haven't called a draw so far, so this is the time where I do it again. I hope not a 0-0 draw. But no, I think the defense is weak enough on both sides that we will see some goals. It will be a big difference to be at Hong Kong Stadium for this game compared to the Iran match.
It will be a bit different.
Yeah, and especially Pegasus at the moment are not the ones that draw a lot of attendance as well, in this big venue in particular. So I'm a bit concerned that we will see less than 600 people there, which is sad.
But I'm interested to see these guys. I mean, they've got this new striker, Lokalingoy, who I thought looked really... I mean, I only saw the highlights, but he had a lot of pace, a lot of movement. He scored, of course. I think he could be interesting. It might be viable replacement for Travis Major, who was a big loss for them. And of course, Gondra just scored the best goal ever. So I might try and go down there. I quite like Hong Kong Stadium.
No, that's very true. I think the main concern after the first game was the woeful defending. So the Australian centre-back hasn't really proved himself in the first match very well. 19-year-old Michael Glassock. So this is maybe one of the reasons why they want to bring in Chen Wai-ho to have another option in the back as well. And I think attack might not be an issue with Charles Lokalingoy up front and Gondra as well.
Yeah, let's see. So you call it a draw? Let's go with a draw. Okay, I think that's everything. Have you got anything to add, Toby?
No, I'm totally fine.
I'm really glad that you left that pause so that, you know, we all thought that... Okay. Okay, listeners, thank you very much for joining us this time around. That's everything we've got time for in this fortnight's Hong Kong Football Podcast. Until next time, take care. Hope your team wins. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.